Good evening, James McCanny here with my Science Hour for November 7th, 2019. Right now, less than 1 year from the national election, and the level of insanity could not be higher. Oh my goodness. So anyway, I'm not going to talk politics here, but here's an issue that really does affect people, and more people are starting to recognize this, knowledgeable people. People in the know, and this is very simple, that the United States is becoming more and more divided, and it's becoming militant. You have this ding-a-ling freshman House of Representative from New York, and I mean, these people are being promoted on a wide scale. They're not getting publicity because they're smart. They're getting publicity because they're reading off of a script. And literally, they're reading a script. But I saw a clip the other day where you have a representative talking to a black person in a congressional hearing, stating that global climate change, which is a farce to begin with. There's no such thing. I've talked about this on my show. It's absolutely ridiculous. But stating that the black population is the main recipient of all of the damage, and the global climate change is being caused by white people. I mean, this is so divisive, so racist, so unbelievable. I'm one of the greenest people you probably could ever meet, and I'm white. So exactly, you know, who are these people talking about? And the whole issue of pollution is the real issue. And China and India and Japan are countries that pollute far more than we do. We're not talking just straws in the ocean here. We're talking massive pollution with no restrictions of any kind. Cities where, you know, look this up. I've been in cities that are horrendous regarding pollution. Mexico City, you know, other major cities in the Western Hemisphere. And they don't even rank in the top 100 of polluted cities. Those cities are in China. If you look at the top 100, the polluted cities are in China and India. Oh, my goodness. I've had offers to set up operations for some of my industrial stuff in India or China. And it's like, no, not really. I don't think I want to do that. So, but anyway, getting back to this divisiveness, trying to divide black and white on the issue of a phony issue, which is global climate change. It's just absolutely amazing. But people listen to this and people believe it. So the end result is there's a divisiveness going on. We're also seeing in the recent elections where people outside the country or just very rich people are pouring their money into political campaigns in Virginia and other places where it's like if you have two products. Say there's two companies that produce products, and that product is pretty much the same. But you have one company that puts a lot of money into glossy advertisement, and the other company does not put as much money. They're the same product, exact same product. And this goes for politics also. If you can pour a lot of money into a campaign, then you can win that campaign simply because of more money, more glossy advertisements, and to sway the public. But the other thing is in those states also, from my voter cheating study, those are the states that have the Democratic machine. This is leftovers from the Clinton machine for voter fraud. And so that's another issue where they can control that and monitor it. It's really a finely tuned machine. The Clinton machine was an amazing, amazing political machine. And Hillary was supposed to win that. Oh, she was going to win that by just so much that it was going to not even going to be funny. And how Trump pulled that out is pretty much amazing for a guy that never held political office, really did not have a good political organization. Anyway, that's all history. We're now heading into the next election. But here's the issue. And I'm going to mention this insanity of the impeachment thing. And of course, there again, it's extremely divisive and dividing the United States very much. It's creating these amazingly divisive issues. And instead of unifying the United States into directions that are necessary for our future and the future of the kids of this country and the next generations, that's what's going on. It's absolutely insane. But when this impeachment fervor ends, and it will run its course one way or the other in a number of months, probably they figure around February where all of this will be done. And if they do or if they don't, I mean, that's one issue. But Trump can still run. And so, I mean, it's really not going to change anything other than solidify the base of Trump's base, I mean, and expand it, because people are tired of this absolute, you know, Russian probe and throwing all, you know, just the insanity we've been through. But here's the issue. With February going through summer and then into the fall election, they are going, because either way, even if they could push this through and get a Trump impeachment and a call for removal for office, he would only be out of office for a couple months until he gets reelected. And so the issue is, then they're going to have to start some kind of real calamity in the United States. And this is this. So I don't like to talk about politics, but everybody that understands, you know, what's going on in the country and has half a brain, really, is predicting literally a shooting revolution where things get nuts, because the George Soroses and people like that, especially in the summertime when people are out traveling around. And I don't want to bring this up, but it's really unfortunate. This family of nine in Mexico who were slaughtered in an ambush where they were just 200 shells into the car and then burning up the car with all the occupants, a horrific crime of a tourist family in Mexico. And the people who have analyzed this, I'm not an expert, I used to live in Mexico, but and when I lived there as a young guy, Mexico was like the Wild West, but it did not have the drug cartels. It was not this, where these drug cartels are making billions of dollars and are heavily armed. But this is some kind of a signal, and people cannot really figure it out. What is the signal here? The best analysis I've seen is that they want United States to go into Mexico and start a shooting war, which would be an absolute insanity. Because these things have gotten so far out of control. Anyway, I'm not going to go through the history of that, but couple this with then George Soros and foreign-initiated efforts to create violence in the United States. And this is the point, that after February, as we head into spring and summer, people are saying that this is what's coming down the road. This is what's going to happen. And, of course, they're going to blame it all on Trump. this is an amazingly dangerous time we are walking into here. So John Moore talks about it. I mean, he's an expert in things like this. He has guests on his shows who are expert. I'm a person that's been around the block enough to know that just my own personal instincts tell me that that's what they're going to have to go in that direction, because the standard methods, all of the standard hearings, everything they're doing, even this impeachment thing, even if it were to succeed, isn't going to get them where they want to go. So anyway, brace yourselves. That's all I can say. And this gets us back to the Obama days where people were being shot in the street. People's ranches were being burned down. And that was because of the Uranium One deal, which was orchestrated by Hillary Clinton, the Oregon, the Nevada, the Saskatchewan, and Alberta, the people being burned off their land to open up the region for mining of uranium. And now I've also talked about California, the same thing, where they're trying to get all of these people off these certain lands that are rich in uranium. Uranium is a surface mining process. It chews up a tremendous amount of land. And so, and you can't have people around there when you're doing this, because you're it's an extremely destructive form of mining, surface mining. Much more than, well, there's no surface mining technique that is not destructive, whether you're going for sand, tar, or whether you're going for coal or any other form of resource. Surface mining is extremely destructive, and that's the case with uranium, which is actually the next topic here. The Hanford, Oregon cleanup is once again going through fiasco after fiasco. It's not being funded. It's being partially funded, and it just has a history. It's in the news again. The extreme cost, the hundreds of billions of dollars it's going to cost to clean up the nuclear industry. I cannot believe people are still walking around talking about nuclear energy being green. Oh, my goodness. Nuclear power is the most destructive anti-green power source that you can imagine, and it produces CO2 if that's one of your worries. But the nuclear industry, and of course Hanford, that area began in World War II, in post-World War II days, during the Cold War, where the United States was producing massive amounts of processed uranium. And there's also sites in California around St. Louis. I know people that have ranches and farms near St. Louis where all their animals die because of the pollution, the trailings from the uranium processing that occurred there post-World War II. And actually, during World War II, that was part of the Manhattan Project for cleansing uranium, processing uranium. Just another pollution note here. The Keystone Pipeline leaks 383,000 gallons of oil into North Dakota. Now, I'll be honest with you. This looks to me like a setup. And I'll be very honest with you. A pipeline, when they had pipelines, let's go over to Afghanistan. The reason they started the Afghan war is so that the boys, the oil boys from the United States, the Bushes and their cronies, could run a pipeline from the Caspian Sea down to the ocean. So that, because Russia, the Caspian Sea has vast amounts of oil at the bottom, and it's a heavy oil, so it does not float, but it's at the bottom of the Caspian Sea, and the Russians were just pumping it out, and it's free. And so the Western guys could not handle this, somebody getting free oil, so they built a pipeline across Afghanistan. They couldn't do it through Iran. That's what they wanted Iran for. It wasn't necessarily because of nuclear testing. That was an issue. But it turned out the Obama administration and the Bush administration were actually helping Iran develop their nuclear capabilities by giving them our uranium through the Uranium One deal with Russia and then paying for it, actually giving them billions of dollars to buy our uranium. That's what the Uranium One deal, that's what the Iranian nuclear deal was all about. Joe Biden, etc. And, you know, to remember, it was Mueller himself. Remember the Mueller investigation, investigating ties and collusion with Russia? He's the guy that took the briefcase of uranium samples directly to Putin. I mean, it just doesn't get any nuttier than this. But anyway, back to the Keystone Pipeline leak. My point in bringing up Afghanistan is that the rebels out there in the living in the rocks and caves out in Afghanistan, these little tribal clans, etc., living out there, they would go out and shoot holes in the side of the pipeline. And never, ever did they have, I mean, they had a lot of trouble maintaining the pressure in that pipeline because of the locals blowing it up and things like that. But never did they have 383,000 gallons spilt. And so this looks like, remember that Trump okayed this pipeline, and there was a big hoopla between the Native Americans there. They didn't want it running and polluting their land. But for 383,000 gallons to run out before they put the plug in at or closed the valve, which are automatic, is absurd. So it looks to me like somebody did a fast one here, and that this was a planned event, a orchestrated event, to once again rub salt in the wound between the Native Americans and Trump. There's no way that that amount of oil could leak out of that pipeline. It's not a leak. it's like this is major artery disruption. You couldn't have 383,000 gallons. Do you know you want to know how much that is? That is a massive, massive amount of oil. And was the sections of pipe, I mean, it's just absurd. For that much oil to leak out, somebody had to turn a blind eye or actually cause it. Okay, so anyway, I had a suggestion for people who want to allow anybody to come into the United States. Here's a suggestion. At least negotiate and allow us to go into those countries unabated also. We should have reciprocal agreements. So I suggest that the Bernies and the Liz Warrens and the other people who are for letting the drug cartels and anybody else into this country free reign, that they create a reciprocal agreement with those countries. You cannot go into Mexico without permits, without or any other country, let alone have mass immigration into the country without all the paperwork done. It just doesn't happen. They're not going to let one person. I travel in foreign countries a lot, and believe me, they have rules and they're very strict. And if you go a day over on your limit, whatever that is, you have a problem. And you can't go back there. So anyway, if you just simply said, well, if this is so good for the United States, just make a reciprocal agreement with those countries that all Americans can go there if they want, the door would close in a New York second. It just wouldn't happen. More news on this. This again is such an amazing industry, the alternative energy industry. The news is so amazingly controlled. I see stories come out of people who actually do analysis of the wind energy industry, the three-blade wind turbines, and they show how this has been nothing but a giant ripoff from the very beginning. They don't produce energy. For example, the Noble Wind Farm in Minnesota, which was initiated in 2010, I've talked about this before, just a few fun facts, it was supposed to last 25 years and power 66,000 homes. It never in its lifetime, now this is 2019, they're decommissioning this entire facility. And at most, during the lifetime of this project, which never got anywhere near 25 years, it produced no more than 30%. This is the maximum day during this 9-year period from the time it was commissioned to the time they're ripping these things down, which is, again, a giant environmental disaster, costing $500,000 per tower to do this, which the county has to pay for, by the way. the local residents have to pay for this debacle. And they never reached more than 30% on the windiest day. This 201 megawatt facility never reached more than 30% of its capacity, which means they don't work. So, but here's the point. The news media is like so much, just about everything else. They cover for this industry. The idiots in Congress and in political offices are still running around trying to put in wind installations based on three-blade wind turbines. And get this, this is probably the biggest story of the week. General Electric has announced its 351-foot blade for its what is called the Haliad X wind generator. And I don't know what the power output of this is. It's probably going to be up in around the 8 to 9 megawatt region, which is really not much. It's really not much at all for the amazing expense. But imagine a wind turbine, just the blade, is longer than a football field. Three of these obtusely, massively heavy blades flailing around. And General Electric, here's the point, General Electric is putting its eggs in a basket because they understand that the central power companies are going to go away, and I'm sure they're aware of my technology, but they're trying to make these things bigger. But the, as I said, the cost is prohibitive. They're simply not going to make many of these. And they simply don't work. And they're hoping that enough people will think, oh, we got to put in these big ones. Then that in the next, in 10 years, when people find out they don't work, GE will have scammed another 10 years out of this bogus design. But GE is recognizing that the future is alternative energy and is putting all its eggs in that basket because the central power company is going to go away, literally. And but the point is that the wind industry, long ago, the small wind turbine industry died because they didn't produce. And they had people climbing up way high in the air, and the installers simply went to solar. So that whole lower range of wind turbines died, the three-blade wind turbines, because there was no payback on investment. The farmers figured it out, and they stopped buying them. Some of them started putting in solar, but then they realized that solar doesn't work. So the farmer is out there without an alternative energy product, except for the McCanny wing generator. But anyway, the industry, this is one of my points, is that it's amazing that the news media will not report of the devastation, the ecological devastation, and the simple fact that three-blade wind turbines do not work, or the fact that solar does not work. They will not report these, but independent people are here and there trying to get articles out on independent media, primarily, talking about the absolute ecological disaster of three-blade wind turbines. But these never really get very far. They don't get much headline. They don't get picked up by the mainstream media. So once again, we're dealing with a very corrupt media that is pushing a narrative that, and I just saw this again, where they're trying to push that nuclear energy is a good deal. I mean, right now, this English plant, it is going over $38 billion, and they say it'll never produce a watt of energy. Okay, so enough of that. But the just a quick update on the McCanny wing generator, more commonly known, more technically known as the JMCC wing generator, is we're working on the small 2 to 250 kilowatt sizes for farm and ranch. And also looking for people who would like a co-op. If you have two or three, say, facilities that are nearby, these would not be miles away. But if they're relatively close, people might be looking at a communal or a co-op type of situation with the wing generator in a stable source of power. And this could be for factories, farm and ranch, etc. So anyway, if you're interested or you know somebody who might be interested, and by the way, we're just behind on responding to emails. So if you've emailed a couple times and have not heard back, it's just because we're being overwhelmed, not only with all of the things that I'm doing right now, but responding to emails. It's something that I hope to have more people dedicated to. Right now, I'm doing a lot of this work myself. And so as you can imagine, since I've not been able to clone myself, I'm working on many different fronts. But the absolute priority right now is getting this wing generator project off and moving, and then it'll take on a life of its own. So anyway, if you're interested or know somebody that's interested in independent power, go to my webpage, jmccsci.com. There's an email there. It's a long one. It's jmcc@jmccanniscience.com. Go there for the correct spelling. And just put WING in capital letters in the subject title so we can recognize it. It comes in on an email stack that we get thousands of emails per day. That's why I want you to put WING in capital letters in the subject line so we can easily identify your email. And as opposed to all of the other mail that comes in, people, there's probably 20,000 emails in that bin right now. So we have to be able to recognize your email, which is priority. Just put WING, W-I-N-G, in the subject line in capital letters, and we'll see that. Okay, so, and once again, that's where my priority is right now. Okay, switching topics here, I want to talk a little bit about this lunatic idea called evolution. Now, talk about something that has been rammed down the public's throat literally for hundreds of years, something that could not possibly be true. And it was solidified by Carl Sagan in the Cosmos series as the direction that science would go forever. And so I talk about this a lot on my paid cast. I suggest that you join my paid cast and get all of the back issues also. Don't just buy the weekly one. Believe me, you want all of the past issues going back to August. A very good deal. I think it's $59 for all of the paid cast going back to when it started, August of 2016. So we now have 3 years plus of paid casts every week. And right now I'm in my educational program. But the idea of evolution, that somehow just by random, all of this stuff, everything you see, it just by random occurred. Absolutely absurd. It's one of the most absurd concepts that has ever come out of the human my psyche. It's just absolutely, absolutely absurd. But as a statistician, I can tell you, dealing with statistics and random processes, etc., this is not how random processes work. Random processes do not create very organized anything. It's just in out of nothing, completely just out of a so-called Big Bang. One day, it's like when those movies start. Remember when you went to the very first Star Wars movie and you sat down and it starts and the scrolling goes off into the distance, the letters, it scrolls and you're reading the text and they're scrolling off into like infinity into the distance. That's like the so-called Big Bang, that you sit down and there's this movie and all of a sudden, once a long, long time ago in a land far away that nobody ever had any record of, the whole universe began in an explosion, and everything that happened since is evolution. I mean, talk about a fairy tale. That is the ultimate fairy tale. And then, somewhere along the line, magically, some of those carbon, oxygen, hydrogen, and nitrogen molecules with a little bit of phosphate thrown in created life just automatically. No reason that that all of a sudden these molecular structures could start building up in a couple, who knows, a billion years later, there are people walking around. And you, according to them, they say that you evolved from the monkey. So you're just a little bit smarter monkey than the one out there still swinging from vines in the jungle. That's the story. It is so absurd. And then, because they don't have any proof for it, they come in and say, well, there's a missing link. Oh, and they teach this in schools. Now, the clincher is that if you oppose this, they go, oh, well, you're a creationist. Then you have to believe that God, literally what the Bible says, that God created man. And actually, the creation story is much more believable, or equally believable, because in neither case do we have a scientific record. What we have is a book that tells us that the universe was created, but here's the issue. The evolutionists define their opponents by calling them creationists. And the whole issue here, let me go back to the most fundamental principle of science. Albert Einstein said this, all of the other great scientists said this, and all of physics and chemistry is rooted in the topic called conservation of energy. Energy can either be created or destroyed. And you can change between matter and energy. Those are equivalent because we have equations that tell us how that works. E is equal to mc squared, and you can go back and forth between energy and matter and energy, or light and matter and light, which is another form of energy. But you cannot create out of thin air energy, and of course that's the myth of somebody trying to get energy out of thin air, basically, out of nowhere. It doesn't exist. So let's go back to the Big Bang and talk to scientists who claim they're scientists and ask them how all of a sudden all of the energy in the world, in the universe, all of a sudden all of the energy and matter in the universe, matter and energy being interchangeable, all of a sudden appeared out of nowhere, out of a point that had nothing. So they violate the Big Bang. There's the bottom line. The Big Bang violates the most fundamental principle of science. And that is that you cannot create or destroy energy. But in the very beginning, the very root, the seed of the entire universe, they violate the exact basic theorem or law. Basically, it's a law, not a theorem. The law of conservation of energy, they violate it in the Big Bang. They just say, all of this stuff just appeared one day. And you know what? Just like the missing link of the monkey getting to man, just like that missing link, there's a big missing link in the Big Bang story. And none of it, as you can tell, the more they pull in data and trying to corroborate data with the alleged Big Bang, the more it doesn't fit. So there's a couple main points that they rely on when we're talking about the Big Bang and Big Bang cosmology. One is the redshift, that the redshift is an indication of everything moving away from us. Well, not true. The redshift is due to a very laboratory provable concept that I devised, that I created, called the induced electric dipole redshift. I discovered this, and you can show it in a laboratory very simply. So it's something that's very laboratory provable, and it's easy to show that that's what the redshift is that they're seeing in the universe. So the universe is not expanding. It's just an indication of fusion objects with a non-uniform electric field around them. That's the cause with the induced electric dipole redshift. This is all in my work, in my books. And that's the cause of the redshift. The second thing is the alleged microwave background radiation, where they take a microwave satellite, they put it up into space, and they look around, and all of a sudden they see microwave in all directions. Well, what they're seeing is a signature of a dust cloud that surrounds our solar system. We can see these same dust clouds surrounding nearby stars with the microwave background radiation signature. And so that's all they're seeing. So you would have to get your microwave satellite telescope outside of this dust ring that surrounds our solar system, and then you're not going to see anything. So the two main underpinnings of Big Bang cosmology are a farce. They're fake. So they don't have anything, yet they continue on this. You know, that once again, the news media will cover this until the cows come home. And this was solidified by Carl Sagan in 1979 to 81 in the Cosmos series. Then right now, the Cosmos book is the biggest selling book in the world, except for the Gutenberg Bible. So they've really pushed this. They've pushed this into every country in the world. And even the Vatican is inviting Big Bang cosmologists and evolutionary people into the Vatican to have meetings to make sure that Vatican doctrine is following the same lines as evolution and the Big Bang. So science, so-called science, is compatible with the teachings of the Catholic Church. And in the Catholic Church, there's a law, basically, that says that the Pope can't be wrong, that he's infallible. What the Pope says is 100% correct. But they're having a little problem lately because of the issue of, basically, pedophilia. When the Pope came to New York a number of years ago, he was supposed to announce that they had discovered aliens. It was a big part. It was on his line item agenda. And he never got to do that because all of the reporters wanted to know about the pedophilia in the Catholic Church issue. So anyway, the Pope basically lied about that, and that's been discovered. There have been people high up in the Catholic Church and all through the Catholic Church arrested for pedophilia and related issues. So all I can tell you is that for people out there who are believers or people who are people of faith, remember that this whole entourage of people, and by the way, I was raised Catholic. I grew up a Catholic. I went to Catholic grade school, high school, and college, by the way, and was probably one of the last groups of people who had a class called ethics, which means you have to do what's correct. Your nature tells you what's correct, and you then follow that. No longer is in existence. But back to this concept of evolution, that somehow everything you see is just at random. Absolutely ridiculous. And so what is the actual answer? Well, the actual answer is that there is a massively complex divine plan. And the universe is following that. And as scientists, I'm a scientist, well-trained scientist, have a lot of experience in industry and in academia. And I can tell you that we are just beginning to scratch the surface of getting information about this vast universe, let alone understanding it. So it's very presumptuous for scientists of any caliber to assume that they can understand the beginning of the universe, etc. And I talk about these topics and, for example, the concept of infinity. I talk about this in my paid cast. I go into a lot more detail, but basically the human mind cannot understand the infinite. So we have all kinds of little examples. And one of the most fundamental, rudimentary aspects of mathematics is known as Peano's postulates. Piano's postulates are very simple, a set of postulates, and to the uneducated eye, looks like just some very basic statements. But embedded in the piano postulates is something called induction, something that allows us that if we can do one thing and then have another thing that follows, and that next thing will have the same application where something else follows, then you can get to infinity. And that's how we understand infinite concepts. It's like if you said, if I can say one, I can say two. If I can say two, I can say three. If I can say three, I can say four. Okay, now you've got to the point, well, of course you can then say five, and you can create a term or a symbol that represents one, two, three, four, and five, or any other number that you can create, or in counting systems, etc. But in our human limited vision, the inability to see very far, we don't get out to infinity. We just understand that we could keep going and going and going on infinitum, and eventually you would get out to very big numbers, but you still would not get to infinity. And so the point is that with any other concept, whether it's evolution, it's a man-made myth to try and cover for the fact that man does not understand the infinite. And when it comes to understanding the cosmos or understanding the development of life, for example, we don't have a record of anything that happened back then. We don't have any record at all. So it's an assumption. Evolution is basically an assumption. When Darwin went to the Galapagos Islands, he saw some modifications of the various, what he called species, which is really a bad term. Species is a term that was developed by people who looked for that outward signs, visible characteristics, and classified according to that, which we now know is completely bogus. But anyway, Darwin looked at species that changed a little bit, and then he made this amazing jump, which said that all of the species evolved from simpler species. Well, right there, you contradict the rule of statistics and probability and statistics, where if you have a probabilistic method or system, it'll sometimes become a little more complicated, and sometimes it'll become a little less complicated. But in terms of life, when you look at what they claim to be the tree of life, it always becomes more complicated. And then they say, well, this is random. Well, that's not how random systems work. Random systems don't become more complicated and more complicated and more complicated. That's not the way random systems work. It's simply not the way it works. And so evolution, by its very nature, is a myth. So anyway, I hope that gives you a little bit of insight into this topic of evolution. I talk a lot about this on my paid cast, so I would suggest that you go there, where I go into great depth on this topic and many other ones. And by the way, for those of you that have forgotten, by the way, I have a list of topics for all the paid casts going back in history to that August 2016 date when they started. I have a list of all of the programming and all of the titles of the show on as a subpage on my webpage. So you can go there, click there, and then join the paid cast. And you also get very good deals, like half-price deals on my ebook set or the Everything Library. Very good pricing if you join the paid cast. But the bottom line is, and this just amazes me, that literally everything you are told on the news today regarding science, and it's inherent, everything you're told is completely wrong and backwards, whether it's from NASA, whether it's space.com, whether it's spaceweather.com, whether it's any other major source. How about this one? That hurricanes are made from warm water could not possibly be true. That somehow energy from warm water creates hurricanes. What a ridiculous idea. And I've even seen in, I get this publication, it's called Physics Today. There was a MIT thermodynamics professor who did a simulation based on entropy of how a hurricane forms from warm water. And I couldn't believe this. This clown never did an energy analysis, and it's something that you always do. And it's something that's very important, that no matter what system you're dealing with, and a hurricane is a system, you have to do an energy analysis. And so he never did. If he did, he would realize that warm water coming off the ocean, there's not enough energy there to form a hurricane with all the energy in the hurricane. And also it contradicts the second and third laws of thermodynamics, that you cannot make an organized energy system from an unorganized energy system. So absolutely absurd. These people are just terrible scientists. I wouldn't even call them scientists or engineers. And they're teaching this at the university level. And so that's why I encourage people to, you know, if you're sending your kids to college, if you got the extra money, okay, send them there to have a good time, to party. I'm not kidding, because they're not going to get an education in college. I call it advanced babysitting. And that's, in most cases, what it is. The kids go off to college, they get to drink, they get to meet boys, girls, whatever. And it's in a relatively safe environment where, you know, they're not going to be harmed. Switching gears a little bit here, and this just came in a few minutes before the show, and I was shocked and amazed. Now, I get news from not just the United States, but from around the world. And apparently, chocolate, now this is the world source of chocolate, probably one of the more complicated issues in the world. The chocolate comes from a lot of foreign locations, let's just put it that way. But here's one in which chocolate candies and you might just call them sweets, like little cakes, things like that. And a lot of these are manufactured in foreign countries. I remember when I was a kid, if you got a chocolate bar, it was chocolate. And then one time I ate one of my favorite candies. I'm not going to say which one it is, but when I was a kid and I had my paper route, I would go, you know, spend a few nickels and buy my favorite candy bar. And so one day when I was an adult, I went and I said, you know, I'm going to have one of those candy bars. And I ate it and I thought, you know, this is not the same. This is not the same. So I looked at the ingredients, and then I literally called up the head of the candy company, and I said, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I've been eating these since I was a kid, and this is different. The guy told me, he said, you know, due to competition, we had to start using fillers. We have this manufactured in a foreign country. And I'm like, well, that's the last one I'm buying, although you still see them on the shelves. But here is the issue. They are planting in chocolate products, and I don't know how extensive this is. I would just say in food products that come from foreign countries that are packaged. And I couldn't believe it when I saw the video. The person opened up fresh, unopened packages of these happen to be little cakes, look like little vanilla cake with a chocolate and some frosting on the cake or something like that. Opened up the packages, started fingering through the cake and the chocolate, and there's little pills in there. And those little pills make people very dizzy, and it can actually kill some people. Now, when I saw this, I was shocked and amazed. But I thought, you know, I better report this on my show, because I don't know how extensive it is. The ones that I was looking at here came from Turkey. I will just tell you that. And so there are companies out there that are manufacturing products with little pills in them. And as we move forward into a very uncertain future, I'll be honest with you, I would highly recommend that you stabilize your food sources. And that is that the main source of food that you get is from verifiable sources. And when I say verifiable, typically local is best. So if you have a local farmer's market where you can go and get produce or another source of basic the produce, vegetables, etc., that you find this and then utilize it. There's also another issue going on in the food industry. They're pushing organic. Everything is like organic. And you'll have to look also for non-GMO. There are actually companies now producing quantities on a national level of non-GMO products. So you can look for that, certified non-GMO. And that's very important because even if it's organic, 99% of the time it will be from a GMO, genetically modified food source. This is something that very important to understand, labeling. And also, if you're buying, for example, candy, I couldn't believe I bought what is sometimes termed white chocolate. And I bought it as a gift for somebody else. And then I thought, you know, I'm going to read the ingredients on this. There was nothing chocolate, and it was just corn syrup and rice filler. I couldn't believe that this white chocolate had nothing that was healthy in it at all. It was really, if you ate that thing, it would be terrible for you. Chocolate products in general are very questionable. Hidden in the ingredients are wax a lot of times in chocolate products. And that's, by the way, when I was calling up the executive of that company, I was saying, you know, because I did a few things and I realized that there was wax in the chocolate as a filler. Wax, yeah. And he admitted that, yeah, they were adding wax to the chocolate to, you know, it had that chocolatey flavor. But still, I knew something was different. So on packaged products, especially sweets, things like that, I just rarely eat anything like that anymore. Sometimes if I'm traveling down the road and just as a lark, I'll go into, you know, filling up the car with gas, go into the gas station, buy a candy bar. But pretty much I stay away from those types of food completely. Just because of health reasons. But with the videos that I've seen where they're actually putting little teeny pills, these are little teeny pills that you would not notice when you're eating them in a product. And as I said, coming from Turkey. But a lot of the products that you see might say packaged in the United States, but you don't know where they were actually made. Anyway, this is something that, like I say, I don't know how extensive it is, but you're starting to see this more and more in foreign countries where people will eat a product, a prepackaged product, and become sick from it. And there's something in the tend to imagine that there are people putting pills or some kind of narcotic in a candy bar or in a little sweet cake or something like that. This is pretty scary stuff. So once again, my advice as we head, and I talked earlier in the show about the very, it almost seems inevitable that there's going to be a conflict and a physical conflict in the United States in which things are happening that have never happened before. And without going into detail. And the isolation, and so also you can see that when wars have started, in a lot of cases, the beginning of the war was some incident, and that incident was planned. It was planted to get a reaction from the people on both sides. And so there again, it could be a situation where they foment the public division in the United States, which shouldn't be here at all. The people in the United States should be very united as to what our goals are, what our end goals, where we want to go, where we want this country for our children, etc., and how we can manage the problems in other countries. Typically, they're much easier to manage the people in their country, and a lot of those people really don't want to come to the U.S. They just want to come here for a better job or something like that, but their heart is really in their own home country, which has been totally devastated a lot of times by very poor American foreign policy that go back decades. But as we head into this time of a very uncertain future, I would recommend that people become independent as much as possible. Just as a side note, I'm getting more and more inquiries from people. And when I, you know, when I get inquiries for the wing generator, I talk to people. And I'll tell people, well, you know, if you want a very small one, they're not that cost effective as the larger ones. And people say, I don't care. I want to be energy independent. And that is what people are looking for. They're willing to pay a little bit more and be energy independent. That has value of itself. And I would say in a high percentage of the cases, it's not just saving money, it's being energy independent. Because look at PG&E in California, look at all of the other things going on, the fact that the power companies are all on the verge of bankruptcy. We're heading into some very unusual times, something we've never seen since electricity began, where the major power companies are going to be not only going out of business, but raising rates. Then you have completely corrupt companies like General Electric trying to sell equipment that does not work at a very expensive price. And the electric future of the United States is very volatile. That's all I can tell you. So become prepared, food source, energy source as much as possible. Your housing, all of the other things you need for your existence. Get 6 months worth supplies. And it's been a long time since we've had to even talk about these kind of things, literally since Obama left office. This has not been a topic, but right now the radical left nutcases are moving and trying to create this political divide in the United States that could ultimately evolve if they throw a match on the gasoline can. Be prepared. That's all I can tell you. This is Jim McCanney. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.